Blog Talk Radio.
You turn up the TV.
It is January 28th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I am your host, Silver Ray Fox. Happy Monday, people. It is a great day to be doing something positive. I say that every single day. And if it's not happening, work on making it happen. That's the way you have to do it. That's how it's done. Get yourself going in a good, positive direction. And I know you can hear Patty in the background, in the faint background. Get a new attitude. That's what I do every day. Each new day, you can start with a new attitude and approach. Today's my Monday attitude. Tomorrow I have a new attitude, that's going to be my Tuesday attitude. And then when Wednesday rolls around, guess what? I'll put on another new attitude, that's going to be my Wednesday attitude. That's how I roll, that's how I do it. I've found that each day requires a fresh new attitude and approach, yes indeed. Well, we are going to be talking about minding your own business today. No, not the kind of means keeping your nose out of other folks' personal business, but that's not a bad idea either. We're going to be talking about you becoming a business owner, or maybe you already have a business or a company. We're talking about doing something else with that nose, sniffing out possibilities, sniffing out potential for success, and keeping your nose to the grindstone. We're going to be talking about how to stay focused and tough in such interesting economic times. My guest today is so special and comes with a truly wealth of information today. She has been a former TV host and producer. She's also still doing some TV hosting, successful entrepreneur. She has served on too many business boards for me to mention, but a couple you know are United Way, NAACP, YMCA. She's also co-founded various interests, one of them being the co-founder of the Women for Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer. Some years ago, I believe it was the year 2000, she was named Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year. And that's just a snippet, people. That's just a snippet of this woman's success as an entrepreneur and leader in the community. Please welcome to the Foxology stage, Shirley Lanier. Hello, Shirley.
Well, hello there, Silver. Thank you so much. I'm sitting there listening, and I said, who is that woman she's talking about?
You. You've done so much. There's no way I could talk about all of it. So we're going to see how much of it we can get in as we go along through the conversation. You know, I'm really thrilled to have you talking with me today, because I see everywhere I go, I say that like I'm going all over the place. I really mean on the internet.
Well, that is all over the place. You can visit so many places in the comfort of your own home or your own office via the internet.
Okay, well, then that makes this valid, what I'm saying.
Yes.
I go all over the world on the internet, and I see all kinds of people starting up new things and promoting them, and I just find it very fascinating. Every kind of idea that you can imagine people are launching, and well, you know, your experience is dealing with a lot of people, so you know. But
right.
that's kind of where I want to start this conversation. Let me ask you first, you're a big Shark Tank fan?
I am. I love that show.
I know, me too. So you're going to love this question. You see the ideas people bring. They range from being profound to being somewhat ridiculous in some cases, and the sharks are not hesitant to tell you. They'll put the bite in anything.
Absolutely.
If they feel... So what I want to ask you, when people have ideas, certainly I've learned from watching that show, we really need to do a lot of evaluation and introspection. I've heard them say, no, that's not a business that you want. That's a hobby that you're doing, and that's the way you ought to pursue it. Or that's not meant for big business. That's satisfying your financial needs and your need to be a business person. So just stay right where you are. So Do you pretty much approach things the same way when you're giving advice to people and guidance to people? How do you instinctively, as they do, tell a good idea from a bad one?
Well, I like to say there's no bad idea, but that's not exactly true. And when it goes back to, is this a good business for as a big business that someone would want to invest in, be a co-owner with you, or is this a passion or a hobby? Some people like to garden. They come up with something that makes it feasible for them just to earn a living and support that passion. Some people really want to start a business, grow a business, have it take off, and have it be bought out by someone else and become wealthy. It's kind of, what does the person want?
You know, that is such an excellent answer, because that's the introspection part of it that I was asking about. So as business owners, one of the first things you need to answer is all your whys. Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing it?
What do you want to accomplish? Is it about money, or you just need the personal satisfaction? So, I like, too, that you said there really isn't a bad idea. So in that context, there really, really isn't. That's good. I hope people really get a lot from that, because just because you think, you know, your little widget is fantastic and you think it'll make money, it doesn't mean it's going to make you wealthy. It just might be some extra fun money for you on
the
side.
Right, and it may fulfill a need that you have to create something, to own something. It doesn't mean it's the next best thing, or, you know, the next best thing since sliced bread or screw, which, you know, think of all the screws. Who invented a screw, a threaded screw? But everyone uses one for something.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Well, let me ask you the next question. After a business idea has passed the test of, okay, let's say, yes, I want to make some real money at this. I want this to be a product that's in everybody's home. I want to get wealthy. Let's say that that's the goal. So what does a person logically do next? And I'll tell you why I'm going to ask you the questions that I'm going to, because I know that you know all of the formalities that need to be done in a business, but you also know very much about the realities that occur as a person approaches developing a business. So that's why I'm asking. I want to provide as much insight so that people know what they're going to experience. Just because you have a lovely idea doesn't mean it's going to have wings and just take off and fly.
Right. Well, you know, first thing that people need to do is, once they've determined that this is what I want to do, is develop a good business plan. And so many people fail to do that, and they go immediately from A to Z. I have a great plan. It's wonderful. I have a great idea. Once people see it, they're going to love it. But you have to get that plan, that idea, that product, you have to get it to market first, and that takes a lot of money. You talked about realities. As you well know, most small businesses fail. It's like a 25% failure rate in year one. By year 10, it's about 70%. So that means that there's really only, not only, but a 30% success rate, which isn't bad. Interestingly enough, though, and here's the key, 80% of businesses that were started by people with business experience, i.e. they've worked in a business, they've managed a business, they succeed. So lack of business experience can be a great hindrance to people just starting out. And it's so important to get the right people on your team, to get the right managerial experience, and to make sure you're not undercapitalized.
So you're saying then, you know, most people, and we've seen that in real experience, and those people who, again, show up on Shark Tank, they often feel that they understand a plan. All I need to do is get the money. All I need to do is get it in a store. All I need to do is get on QVC.
That's right.
But there's still, underneath all of that, there is some steps, some logical steps that have to be done
in
order to make it happen.
You're right. There's so many steps to get it in a store or to get on QVC or HSN. There's so many steps you have to take before that. It's seldom does someone say, I have a great idea, I have a great product, and take it to, say, a venture capitalist who will say, you know what, it's a light bulb, let's go with it. Usually you have to do a lot of grunt work. You have to prove to whomever is going to help finance that thing. And that's the big key. I have a great idea. I have no money. So where do you go? And I always call it the three Fs.
You go back to work.
No, I call it friends, fools, and family.
Okay.
Because typically banks will not capitalize or lend money to a startup venture. They don't, for those very statistics I stated at the beginning, because of the high failure rate. And so a bank will want serious collateral for a startup business. And people really don't understand that. We'll say, well, gosh, they wanted me to pledge my house. And a bank wants to know, how much skin do you have in the game? I'm lending you my money. What do you stand to lose besides my money? And they want to know that you're willing to put everything you have on the line. And if you have very little to put on the line when you go to a bank, you're going to get exactly that. It's just,
okay.
And it's a reality. And particularly in today's environment, economic environment, banks have tightened up on lending procedures, on who they'll lend to, and small businesses are at the bottom of the food chain in today's economic environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned what were the three Fs?
Friends, fools, and family.
Okay. So all is not lost if you can get some friends and some family and people who just don't know much.
Well, it's not even that. It's getting them to believe in you. If you think about, go back to this show that you love so much, and the one question that's consistent is, how much of your own money have you put into this? And people will say, you know, I cashed in my 401K. My family gave me XYZ. My family owns 40%. I have a business partner. And, you know, it's a reality. Talk about reality. Money makes the world go round. It's rare that you can start a business without capital. That's, you know, and you need a lot more besides that. But if you don't have capital to go from A to Z, it's difficult to begin the next steps. To have a good business plan, to look at hiring people who are going to help you move your product or your business forward. Seldom does that. I mean, think about even people like, oh, I don't know, the guys who started Facebook. They had venture capitalists who invested, you know, one guy invested $500,000, but these guys were high tech, they understood what they were doing, but they gave up shares of that company to people who were willing to take a calculated risk and invest in. And that's where a lot of deals are being done now in the venture capital world, but not small deals. You know, it's not a mom-and-pop world anymore. And mom-and-pop businesses typically will be self-funded and be funded by those three Fs I mentioned before.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to ask you a question that ties into the funding, but I want to ask this first because you said that this is absolutely critical, the plan. Now, I know a lot of people are faulty in that. So is it still recommended that you go to agencies like the Small Business Administration? I know that there are other numerous nonprofits now that also offer opportunities to help put plans together. So is it such that they can just show up with an idea and the agency can help them develop the direction?
They can, but I have to say you still have to do some of the work. You can't just show up at the SBA or some of the nonprofits and say, I have a great idea, I need a business plan. Some of them will charge you a fee. Some of them will help walk you through it. But the reality is, if you don't understand the mechanics of your business, you can't expect anyone else to understand it. And so that's in developing your own business plan. It means you own it, you know it, you understand it. And I know people hate to do projections. Most banks will ask you for 3 to 5 year projections. And most entrepreneurs are such optimistic people. They always look at the upside. Well, I'm going to double my sales in a year, which rarely happens. So you just have to be realistic and own that business plan. And that's one of the reasons the agencies or the bank or whomever you're borrowing money from, they want to see your business plan. They want to see that it's realistic, that your expectations meet their goals, because they want to, you know, if it's a bank, they just want to be paid back. If it's an investor, they want to be paid back, and they want either a percentage of the business or they want dividends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, back to your favorite show, Shark Tank. And you'll hear them go off and say, well, gee, you're only making $100,000 a year, and you want, by the time you expense it out, you're really only netting $2,000. Well, that's not enough for me. And it's not enough for someone to put capital at risk. So you have to look at the risk of reward and return.
Okay. Second thing you mentioned, and that has, you've said several times, money. Now, uh-huh. I happen to know that you, for one of your ventures, you and a couple of partners managed to, and I do mean managed, you launched out and you were able to generate $5 million for a business. And I know that that's not, you know, we're not talking small potatoes when we're talking about that kind of money. And I imagine there are people who may be listening who are thinking about big business. Mm-hmm. I want you to share the dynamics of some of the things you mentioned in an earlier conversation of when you have a big, huge business idea, that there are other avenues that you can seek if you've really got your game plan together.
Well, I'm assuming, I know you're talking about the bank that three other women and I started about 12 years ago, and we capitalized that bank to the tune of $5 million. And it was difficult, I'll be very frank with you, in a very conservative city like Milwaukee, which is where we did it, and three women going to start a bank, and people would say, sure you are. So part of it was the business plan that we developed, and by the way, we paid a significant amount of money to have that business plan done. It was done by a law firm who specialized in startup banks. So that's the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to someone who understands tool and die to do financing. So it's find someone in your industry, find professional to do your business plan or
mm-hmm.
help you with it. So we didn't mm-hmm. just say, here's a check, do the plan. We met with them probably twice a month. We fine-tuned it, went over it back and forth, because not only was it just starting a business, we had to get state and federal and approval from the Department of Treasury and the banking department. So it's a highly regulated industry. So all of it, and it took about a year and a half from beginning to end to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned to me earlier that the invitation, I'm not using the mm-hmm. politically correct term, was the shareholders. Talk
right.
about that for big business.
Well, shareholders are people who, or entities or companies who buy an interest in your business because they expect a return. It's no different. It's somewhat different, but the same model is being a shareholder in IBM or Facebook or Google or Apple. You buy stock in that company because you expect it to grow and you expect a return on your investment. And in capitalizing the bank, it was exactly the same thing. We actually went to other banks, other governmental entities, and convince them why it would be beneficial to them to invest in that venture, that they would get a return on their investment, that they wouldn't lose their investment. And so that's kind of the difference in a shareholder or someone who's simply going to lend you money. A bank will lend you money. They have no interest in your business except they want their money back plus whatever interest rate you decided on. A shareholder actually owns stock or shares of your business, and they will until you buy them out if that provision is in your shareholder agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good information. As I said, I know people are sometimes hesitant, and that's one of the premises behind what I do, why I do the shows that I do, is to provide incentive and inspiration to people to go ahead and launch
out in what they believe in. I understand. Let me break that down in a different way then. When we're talking shareholders, big company plus versus shareholders, small company. So often I hear someone say, well, I'm not going to give up 40% of my company because it's my idea, but someone else has all the money. It's ideally you always want to maintain 51% because then you have control. But 51% of nothing is nothing. 51% of, say, $1 million is $510,000. So you really have to look at what are you giving up and what's the potential upside. And who's your partner? Is it someone you can trust? Is it someone you're comfortable being in business with? Is it someone who brings value to your company? If someone wants to invest in your company and they want a percentage of your company, then you should look at all of those things. And then that's when I say, and I should have said it earlier, get a good lawyer. Get a good contract
mm-hmm.
lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And never, ever, ever, ever rely on a handshake. Or he's my best friend and he told me, and I know he would never screw me. I hear that so often. I always say, if it ain't on paper, it didn't happen. Seriously. Because people change. Money changes people. Lack of money, success changes people. I've seen it. How many times do you see people suing each other over a business deal? The best business contract is one that you lay out early on in the relationship. You know what the terms are. You know what the expectations are. You put it in a drawer, and you never have to bring it out again because everyone lives up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I have a question or two that I want to ask you as we kind of head out of the show. From what you've explained so far, you cannot get around and should not even try crossing your T's, dotting your I's when you're approaching your business. Just don't even think that enthusiasm and faith is going to take you the distance. It won't. What I want to ask you is this. Because of the potential for businesses to fail, I wonder often what people are experiencing, because once you try to do it, you don't always know what to anticipate as far as trends and who's really going to buy it and all of that. What do you say to a person about knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold?
I think that comes back to your management team. One thing we have not touched on is a mentor, someone who is experienced in your business, someone who's been there before. Lack of business experience and lack of managerial experience is like the number one reason, aside from undercapitalization, that businesses fail. So that's when you bring in perhaps an outsider, someone who's a turnaround specialist who can take a good look at your business and look at your balance sheet, look at your sales projections. Are you hitting your mark? What's the potential for you hitting your mark? And say, you know what? You're just not going to make it. Or you will make it if you do these three things, and you have to be willing to listen to that person. It's tough. Most small businesses and small business owners don't It's a sad thing. Don't like to say, I don't know, I don't understand. There's so many people and agencies that will be willing to help you, and someone who will look at your business plan, look at your financials, and that's where a good attorney, a good accountant can sit down, pick apart your financials and say, you know what, you're going to need, you know, pick a number, $50,000 in new sales over the next 6 months in order to maintain and pay all of your expenses. Where are they coming from? And you just have to be willing to take a really hard and fast look at the numbers. You have to know, you have to understand your business. It's not enough to be passionate, to be excited, to love it, to love the business you're in. Some people like doing the work. They don't like running the business. You know, inventors very often don't like doing the business, or they don't even have the skill set. They're inventors, which is why so often you see an inventor selling his product, selling the business, selling it off, because they're not business people. They're inventors.
Okay. You know, something came to mind that I want to reflect on is my last question to you. When I, again, you know, I'm a huge fan of Shark Tank, something you just said also, in keeping what they say very often, or what I see very often, that people are not always open to advice from these hugely successful entrepreneurs who know this stuff inside and out, who have absolutely nothing to gain or lose by giving,
right,
you know, that advice out on the in the moment. And people are so resistant to oftentimes have walked away without the money,
right?
Because they're so stuck on what they think and believe. And what I just heard you say is reshape your paradigm if somebody's trying to help you succeed.
Things change. I've seen people as well who get really defensive, who are stuck on my idea and my way is a great way. And I'm always willing to listen to someone, and particularly someone who's done it before. In all of my business ventures, as is the case with many small business or young or new entrepreneurs, there's not a body of knowledge. You don't have an uncle, cousin, brother who's done it before. And so you pay for a lot of the early mistakes you make. You pay dearly for those mistakes, as opposed to someone saying, don't do it this way, do it that way. Here's the best attorney. Here's a good accountant. You don't know that you need these professionals on your team. It's sort of paying a little more on the front end, but it so saves you from so many mistakes.
Would you say that every day then is really a part of the learning and growing that's critical, and that in itself can ease off or maybe prevent the potential for failure, really paying attention from day to day and getting that professional mentoring and guidance that you need?
Absolutely, and you have to pay attention every day. This is, you know, your dream, your passion, your lifeline. If you're passionate about it, you've put your heart and soul in it, and you sort of live, breathe, and eat it. And you should be excited every day that you get up, because it's a new day, and things do change.
Well, I think that what you just said is such a critical key, because there is so much emotion, passion, and enthusiasm that's wrapped up. Those are all wonderful things. So what I think I'm going to say about what I've just talked to you about is do everything right, cross the T's, dot the I's, and then wrap all of that up in your passion and enthusiasm.
Right. Right.
And then the potential is there for you to grow wings and take off in business.
You are so correct, Silver.
All right, great. Well, I thank you. I know you're such a busy girl, and I appreciate you taking the time. I really wanted to provide the kind of insight that you talked about today, because a lot of people don't know where they're going wrong. They just know all of a sudden they wake up one morning and things aren't going the way they had hoped. So,
well, actually,
I think
they're
not
just waking up. It's been happening. They weren't paying attention. It doesn't happen like that. It's a cumulative
effect. That's good, too.
That's
good too. So there's another little nugget to throw in their cap today. So, all right. Well, this has been a great talk. I appreciate you again taking the time to provide that insight, and I'll look forward to bringing you back on some specific
topics. I thoroughly
topics.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll talk about some more specific things as the year rolls on. So
okay.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day, and
you
I'll look
too.
Forward to talking to you next
okay.
time. Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. And listeners, I know you got a lot out of that. What an amazing conversation. You don't have to be one of those that falls on your face. And even if you do, you can always get back up and start all over again. But take what's been said to you today and make the most of it. And I hope to see you as I'm visiting around the world on the internet talking about your great and awesome success. I hope the rest of the day is the best of your day. I hope you'll tune in again to next week's Foxology. Tell your friends about it on Facebook and on Twitter and all those other opportunities. I'd love to have you join in. With that being said, have a wonderful day. Look forward to talking to you next time.